Good evening. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. I would like to be popular. That's the old Adam nature dreaming overtime. What business do I have to think that I deserve to be popular in a world that has crucified my Savior? I don't need to be popular. I desperately need to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to the assembly of God. Can you think of any character in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, that was popular? If you can, help me out. I can't think of any. Joseph was thrown into a pit by his carnal brothers, then sold as a slave, went to Egypt, was misunderstood, sent to prison, faithful, but not popular. By the way, God raised him up and exalted him. Daniel, thrown into the lion's den, faithful, but he was not popular. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace, faithful, but not popular. John the Baptist, beheaded, faithful, but not popular. Stephen, stoned and became the first martyr in the church, faithful, but not popular. Paul, beaten and scourged, thrown into prison, and apparently ended up being thrown into the wild beasts. Peter, according to tradition, was crucified upside down at his request because he didn't feel comfortable with being crucified like his master. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? Faithful, but not popular. They nailed him to the cross. How about the multitudes through the church history? Fox's Book of Martyrs, have you read it? Don't go to heaven until you do. Those dear people were burned at the stake. They were faithful, not popular. You know, Christian, I don't need to be popular. I desperately need to be faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to the Word of God, and faithful to the assembly of God. Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Back to John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 35. He, referring to John the Baptist, was a burning and shining light. Ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. I would like to, by way of introduction to my message tonight, think of three words. Three words that describe the early church, and it would be nice if it would describe believers Bible church. Is that what they call it? Bible chapel? Forget the name. So many of them. Three words that describe the early church that should describe our church today. These are the three words. Go. Glow. And grow. Go, glow, and grow. Go. They went everywhere preaching the word. Every Christian a missionary. Every Christian involved in witnessing. They got saved, and they went everywhere preaching the word of God. Isn't that beautiful? Carrying out the commission. Every Christian a missionary. Glow. Referring to John the Baptist, he was a burning and shining light. Burning. You know, when you throw a piece of wood on a fire, the wood is consumed, isn't it? It's consumed. And that's what John the Baptist was. He was a burning light. He was consumed for Christ. In fact, he was beheaded for the Lord Jesus, became a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. That's the burning. And he was a shining light. You and I are reflectors of the light. we're not the light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of the light. And you and I are to be shining lights, reflectors of that light. And you know, a reflector has to be clean and bright if it's going to reflect the light. Do you believe that? Go. They went everywhere preaching the word. Glow, a burning and a shining light. And grow. The word of God increased and the disciples were multiplied. That's what we see in the early church, and that's what we would like to see in our church today. Number one, the origin of the church. I want to focus on the subject of the church as we see it in the book of Acts. The origin of the church. I'd like to remind you that the Trinity of the Godhead is involved in the origin of the church. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was involved in the origin of the church. The Father chose us before the foundation of the world. That's the subject of election. That's a sensitive subject. It shouldn't be sensitive because it's biblical. Do you enjoy the doctrine of election? That it was God that chose me rather than me chose God? You know, if it was up to me to choose God, I'd never make it to heaven. But he chose me. Before the foundation of the world, I don't understand, but I believe it, and I thank God for it. The Father chose us. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. It was the Holy Spirit of God that caused conviction and then conversion and brought you to the Savior and to salvation. The Father chose us. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. And the Son purchased us. Redeemed through His blood. Three members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are involved in the church. The Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Underscore the word my. Whose church is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ's church. He claims it. It's my church. The mystery of the church was given to Paul, and the keys to the kingdom were given to Peter. A beautiful study, but it's a series study. We can't get involved tonight. The mystery of the church given to Paul. Biblical mystery is not something mysterious. That's not the meaning of the word mystery. It simply means that a truth that was formerly hidden from God's people has now been revealed. That's what the mystery is all about. You see, the Old Testament saints, including Moses and Abraham, they didn't know anything about the church. They had no way of knowing it. Now that the mystery has been revealed, you and I in the New Testament, in the church, we can look back in the Old Testament and we can see some beautiful prophecies and we can see some beautiful pictures of the church. The origin of the church. The Trinity was involved. Number two, the structure of the church. Every born-again Christian believer in this dispensation is part of this structure. Members of the body of Christ. The Bible teaches that you and I, as individual believers in the church, are living stones. Peter talks about the living stones, doesn't he? You and I are living stones in this structure, the church. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the rock foundation. He is the head. He is the chief cornerstone. Each living stone in the church is unique. Unique to God. In fact, Peter says, precious. How could they be precious to God? I'll tell you why. Because of the price that was paid, the precious blood of Christ makes the living stones precious in God's eyes. And those living stones were fashioned by His infinite hands. The potter formed the vessels. The almighty hands of God formed the living stones, and you and I are part of the church. Speaking of living stones in the church, and I'm speaking for myself, some of the living stones have sharp corners. Have you ever noticed that? Ask your wife. She can tell you. The living stones have sharp corners. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God today, to remove those sharp corners. It's called sanctification, isn't it? And one day, those sharp corners, they're going to be removed. Number three, the security of the church. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." Isn't that beautiful? A promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the powers of hell are not going to overpower the church. When the Lord Jesus spoke those words to Peter, I'm sure that the Lord Jesus knew that the church was going to be the target of the enemy. And you can go back to the day of Pentecost until the day of the rapture, and you will find that the church has been the target of the enemy. The martyrs through the centuries, the persecution that the Christians have experienced. If you have and internet. I hope you don't, but if you do, you can check on some of the persecution that the church is going through today. Not back in the 1500s, today. There are precious Christians that are experiencing very serious persecution. Worldliness in the church. Complacency of professing Christians. That's a threat to the church. And you look at professing Christendom today, and you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. I looked for the world, and I found it in the church. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? The church belongs in the world to witness. But when the world gets into the church, it's devastating. The ecumenical movement, the tolerance in the professing church, all religions are good. I appreciate our president very, very much. But when I hear him say that there's no difference between Allah and Jehovah, it sends a cold chill down my spine. Beloved, there is a difference. Study your Bible and then read the Quran, and you'll find that there is a difference. In the professing church, spectators instead of participants. Spectators warming the pew instead of on their knees and out on the street witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The professing church occupied with programs, entertainment, the social gospel. Do you think I'm dreaming? Then you don't have an internet. Materialism. Materialism has stifled the compassion for the lost. You know that stuff that we think is so great, and we stuff it away in the trunk, in the attic. You know where that's going to end up? In a dumpster. Going to end up burned. The true church, I'm not talking about professing church that you can find on the internet. I'm talking about the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the remnant, the faithful, the ones that are contending for the faith. They are the hope of the church. Our fourth point, some commendable priorities and goals of the early church. They were actively involved in worship and witness. Read the book of Acts, not the internet. Read the book of Acts, and they were actively involved in worship and in witness. the Lord's Supper was something very precious to those Christians. No ritual, no ceremony. In spirit and in truth. That's the way they worshiped in the early church, in spirit and in truth. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit of God that was the worship leader. You know, it sends a cold chill down my spine when they introduce somebody as the worship leader. What do we need a worship leader for when we have the Holy Spirit of God? How about silence at the Lord's Supper? A moment of silence. You ever experience moments of silence at the Lord's Supper? I don't know whether you have this problem, but I tell you, I do. My old flesh nature starts working. What's wrong with the brethren? They're not in the Spirit. Why aren't they saying something? You know, in worship, silence could be more spiritual than trivial eloquence. Do you believe that? Let me run that past again. Silence can be more spiritual than trivial eloquence. Our sisters, they're to keep silent in the church. That's what the Bible says. Does that mean that our sisters are not worshiping? No way. No way. Our sisters are silent because God's word says so. And I'd like to remind you that some of the most beautiful examples and illustrations of worship in the Word of God are women, and they didn't speak a word. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful, men? They didn't speak a word. She washed his feet with her tears, didn't say a word. And the Lord Jesus was excited about it. She didn't have to say anything because he could read her heart. He knew that this is worship in spirit and in truth. She anointed his feet with costly ointment, didn't speak a word. And the Lord Jesus was excited about it. That's what worship is all about, beloved. Silence may be more spiritual than trivial eloquence. My compliments to the sisters. Another thing in the early church, another commendable priority, they gave the Lord Jesus Christ preeminence. He was the head. He was precious unto them that believe. He is precious. Firstborn from among the dead. And again, new believers in the early church, they obeyed the Lord in baptism and were received into fellowship. Follow it through. They became believers. They obeyed the Lord in baptism, and they were received into fellowship. That is the biblical order. Beloved, if you're a born-again Christian believer, you should be baptized. You should be baptized. In the early church, there was numerical increase that followed spiritual revival, not the reverse. Don't try to build up the numbers when there is not a spiritual revival. They continued steadfastly in the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? To meet a congregation of Christians that are committed to the study of the Word of God. They were of one accord. That's beautiful too, isn't it? That's the safeguard against division. Think of professing Christendom with thousands upon thousands of divisions. They know nothing about one accord. Again, they considered love more important than spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are wonderful, but there's something more wonderful than spiritual gifts. Love, faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The Christians in the early church, they sought to walk in and be led by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, that's the key to a successful New Testament church. They turned to God from idols. That's another good priority and goal, isn't it? Turning to God from idols. Oh, there's certainly a lot of idols in the world. Certainly a lot of things that can take our minds and our time and our life. They turned to God from idols. Another priority, they were spurred on by the blessed hope. The blessed hope. The anticipating of the coming again of the Lord Jesus spurred them on in their Christian life. They preached a vibrant message of hope that resulted in reproduction. Let me run that statement past again. They preached a vibrant message of hope which resulted in reproduction. Reproduction spiritually and reproduction numerically. In other words, to the sinner, the message was, prepare to meet thy God. To the saint, the message was, earnestly contend for the faith. They maintained an environment for spiritual maturity. Their fellowship was built so that the Christians could grow, so the Christians could mature. When there is spiritual growth, you can depend upon numerical growth, not the other way around. Don't try to increase the numbers without increasing the spiritual. Increase numbers by new life, not new programs. entertainment. You can increase numbers by entertainment. You believe that? All of your mega churches are noted for their entertainment. You can increase numbers by entertainment, but that's not the way they did it in the early church. They turned the world upside down. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? Isn't that exactly what is needed? The world needs to be turned upside down. If you've got the internet, you know. This is the Lord's work. And let us get busy and let Him work through us. Let me run that past again. This business of building the church is the Lord's work. But you and I need to volunteer and get busy and let the Lord work through us. You see, we are volunteer co-workers. He doesn't force us. We're volunteers. We're serving the Lord because we love the Lord. You know, Christian, you and I have the gospel today because those Christians in the early church were unstoppable. Couldn't stop them. They went everywhere preaching the Word of God. And you and I today, we have the gospel to proclaim because those Christians were unstoppable. And you know, we have the same marching orders that they had. Press on. Press on. Paul says, I press on. Let us go. Let us glow. Let us grow. Spiritually, numerically. By the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the example of the Christians in the early church. We would like to see this repeated. And there is no reason in the world why it cannot be repeated. We have the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Lord Jesus and the precious blood that He paid for our redemption. We have the Father who chose us from before the foundation of the world. We pray that You would work in our hearts that we might go, that we might glow, and that we might grow. For the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.